that I've been standing in front of for the last 50 years nearly. It goes from eternity to eternity. And in space and time, God has dealt with man in many ways. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those under the law. God has made the salvation plan very simple. Religion has made it unattainable by their means. One of the most hellish religions that's ever been created by man is Catholicism. The Bible talks about damnable lies. Escaping Catholicism and damnable lies. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, it states, the Apostle Peter states, but there were false prophets also among the people. There were false prophets also among the people. In the time of Cain, or Adam, one of the first false prophets was Satan himself. And by the way of the serpent. One of the first false religious systems created was by Cain, his son, the one that they thought was Messiah. Eve says, behold, I've gotten et Messiah. I have gotten et Jehovah. And then look what a disappointment that was. Damnable heresies. Cain offered the fruit of the ground, the fruit, a cursed fruit from a cursed ground, as a sacrifice portraying Jesus Christ. That's going to really ring true all through the years. We had the great flood of Noah. We had the Tower of Babel, again, where false religion had become the norm. But Nimrod. All through the world, there were heresies. Damnable heresies, damnable lies. Abraham was called out by God out of the Ur of Chaldees because it was steeped in damnable lies. Israel went down into the children of Israel went down into the land of Egypt, and they were steeped, immersed in damnable lies and heresies. Israel escaped out of the land of Egypt by the high hand and power of God. And yet they brought Egypt with them in their hearts. Took 40 years of wandering in that wilderness for all of those except Joshua and Caleb to die, so they could go into the promised land. They went into the promised land under judges, God's judges, and then under a king that they wanted. God was going to give them a king all the time. His name was David. They were in a hurry. They wanted one. They said, give us a king that we asked for. So God gave them Saul. Israel and Judah disobeyed God and went the way of false prophets, damnable lies, and heresies. God deported them in the Babylonian and the Assyrian captivity. Then God brought them back into the land. They brought with them heresies, damnable lies from Babylon. The Mishnah and the Talmud were the traditions of the fathers. Instead of reading the Word of God, they read damnable lies. How to interpret the law. damnable lives. The Word of God is enough, people. It's enough. That's God's best soap. The best soap in the world is the Bible, to wash heresy and protect you from heresy. In 2 Peter 2 and 1, but there were false prophets also among the people. Jannes and Jambres, Balaam, Nimrod, Cain, the false prophets in the land of Israel, the high priest and the scribe and the whole Sanhedrin court. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. And the word here, false teachers, means liars, lying teachers, lying, damnable heresies, damnable lies, bringing in damnable lies, who slept inside and creeped in under the door, through the cracks, through the window. In other words, not by way of the door, but by secret, divisive ways. It says heresies are lies of damnation, of destruction. Even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Follow their pernicious ways, licentious ways, of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, greed, they shall fleece you, they shall rob you, they shall make merchandise of you. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to reserve unto judgment, and spared not the world that was, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. It says here, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes because of sin. The Catholic Church is a menagerie. It is a cesspool of lies. We've got up to the third century now, and we've found out how all types of damnable lies, heresies, crept in to this church. He crept into the church. Constantine married the church to the state. Now, that was not according to God's plan. The church and the state are separate, according to the Word of God. We operate within the state. We don't run the state. There are so many people today trying to make the church and the state one again. Well, that was a Catholic heresy. It is a Muslim heresy. And it is sometimes a Protestant heresy. Almost every country at one time had a state church. But there are no state churches among Baptists, except Rhode Island, Providence, and Newport, Rhode Island. You might call it a state church. It was a kind of an anti-state church. Roger Williams and Dr. William Clark petitioned the King of England for years to establish a colony where there was freedom. Every colony in America was a state, was established by a state church, just like in Europe. They brought so much of Europe with them. The Israelites brought so much of Egypt with them. damnable heresies, damnable lies. Look on our chart here. Look what was taking place. Constantine married the church to the state. Constantine was called the ultimate regent, the Holy See, Pontifex Maximus, the Apostle of God. Now, they did some good things. Not everything they did was bad. They did canonize the Bible. They talked about the triune God, the Trinity. They established that. They established many things in the Word of God by the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. But they also began to persecute because they had the sword of the state. During this period of time, by 325 A.D., now in the 500s we have a pope established. A pope by 500. We have a pope established. Now what is a pope? The pope is Pontifex Maximus. The pope is the Apostle God. Now the pope began to execute ex cathedra. They would say originally that everything that the pope spoke while he was in office was right straight from the throne of God. The word ex cathedra means out of the chair or out of the throne. The pope sat on the throne of the world, according to the Catholic Church and the Church Catholic Church Universal. Around 300 A.D. or so, during the 300s, prayers for the dead began. Right out of paganism. Right out of heathenism. Then they began making the sign of the cross. The sign of the cross, crossing themselves. They began to, about 375 A.D., they began to worship angels and dead people. Angels and dead saints. I have a book at home, in the other home that is, in California. Moshe Ayim's Ecclesiastical History, the history of the church. He talks about the Paulicians. These were the Paulicians during this period of time, all the way we're talking about right back to here. Now, the Paulicians said that we don't think any more of a heap, a pile of dead men's bones in the church than coyotes' bones out in the field. They are no more valuable to us than that. That's the saints' bones. Peter's finger. A relic of some sort. They began to worship relics. They began to, in about 375 A.D., also began to use images as worship. Images. They would pray to images, to idols. The Bible tells us that we shall not do that. The Catholic Church took the Bible from its people in two ways. In the early churches, all of the Bibles were basically written in Koine Greek. And, of course, the Hebrew, they had the Septuagint, also the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. But they preached in that language. The word Koine Greek means universal. It's a universal language. The Catholic Church translated the Bible into Latin. Now, the common man didn't know Latin. This is what we call the Latin Vulgate. They translated the Bible in Latin, and then they forbid anybody to read it in the original languages. So they took the Bible away from the people. Baptists were still using scriptures. As I've said in former messages, the Catholic Church and the Muslim Empire tried to destroy the Bible. They burned every page of the Bible they could find, but there's still enough pages of those old manuscripts to stack one on top of another more than a mile high. Can you imagine how many there were? The Bibles were all handwritten. In 394 AD, the Lord's Supper or Mass was a daily separation. The Mass was a daily celebration. In 431 AD, we have the beginning of the exaltation of a woman above God. Now, women are really important to men, I do believe. Empires have been destroyed by women. Wars have been fought over women. And here's one woman that wars were fought over, Mary. They began to exalt Mary, and this is where we have the beginning of Mariolatry. The term the Mother of God was applied at the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD that Mary was the Mother of God. Mary was the Mother of God. Now, Mariolatry is an evolution. But right there in the beginning, we have the beginning of Mariolatry in 431 AD at the Council of Ephesus. They began to exalt Mary above God. Now, all Catholics are afraid of the Father. They're taught to be afraid of the Father. The Catholics are taught to be afraid of Jesus, because he's another man, and that these two individuals are very powerful, and they hate sin, and they will punish sin constantly and always. The Bible teaches that God hates sin. The Catholics teach that the only way that you can get to God the Father or Jesus is to go through Mary or one of the other notable saints. And so they began to exalt Mary and pray to Mary and ask her and pray to her and tell Mary their problem. That, in short, is a damnable lie, a damnable heresy. Mary was a woman. She was a virgin when she had Jesus, yes. She was of the right lineage of the tribe of Judah, etc. But she was a woman, just the same. Now, God could have chosen any woman to bring forth his son into the world because woman does not pass on the sin nature to the child. It is the man. And what's the difference between a woman and a man? Well, when man covers a woman and impregnates her, his blood goes into that child, and in the blood of man is sin. Read the book, Chemistry of the Blood, by Dr. Jean. Read that. M.R. Michon. Mary was only a vehicle. Mary had to be saved. Mary had to repent. Mary had to call upon God to save her, or else she wouldn't go to be with heaven. The Catholic Church began to exalt her more and more and more, and it became more and more, a greater lie all the time, a bigger lie every time. In 526 A.D., we have the doctrine, the lie of the extreme unction. That means when you're dying, when you're in the process of dying, that a priest comes and he administers to you last rites, like in the pagan world. It came right out of paganism. That is a lie, a damnable lie, right out of paganism. The only way you're ever going to get to God is by confessing your sins to God, asking God to forgive you because of what Jesus did for you. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem all of us that are cursed under the law. Another damnable lie in Catholicism was the doctrine of purgatory by Gregory I in 593 A.D. The doctrine of purgatory. What is purgatory? Purgatory is an invention. It is a damnable lie. Now, all of these different lies that we've talked about tonight all set aside the grace of God. All of the sacraments of the Catholic Church set aside the grace of God. According to them, they're all a vehicle of continuing grace, whereby you can get closer and closer to maybe going to heaven. But when every person dies, except these glorified saints that they have, Paul and Peter, etc., they got to go to the beatific vision, and they were so good that they had excess merits. And so you could purchase those excess merits by the favors of the priest. Damnable lies. Purgatory, 593 A.D. Purgatory. The word purgatory comes from the word purge, or to cleanse. The Catholic Church teaches, if you have baptism, see, baptism washes away the original sin, and they baptize infants. Now, remember the last time we talked about infant baptism, why did the Catholic Church begin to baptize infants? Number one is that we have a church and a state. And when the infant was born, what you wanted to do was getting into the church state by citizenship right away. Now, the Catholic Church tried to control marriage. You had to have a license to get married. Now, Baptists have a license to get married. I remember in history when Baptists wouldn't have a license. As a matter of fact, the primitive Baptists today, many groups of them, if you get a state license to get married, you will be excluded from that church from now on. They believe in total separation of churches then. And Baptists stood against that for many, many years. When a man and a woman were married, they had a Bible. You wrote the preacher's name down there, and the woman and man, what day they got married. Then you wrote down all the children of the issue of that marriage. And that's the way it was. In the South American countries, if you're not a Catholic, you can't get married. You're listed under different countries down there as so-and-so and woman, not wife. Marriage is a legal contract under the state. The doctrine of purgatory. Purgatory, a person would go into purgatory and they would suffer and suffer and suffer and pay for their sins until they finally are cleansed and they become righteous And then they get to go into the beatific vision. If you've had the original sin washed away in baptism. See, babies were baptized, become a state, a member of the church, and a member of the state. In 618, we have prayers to Mary and to dead saints. Damnable lies. You can pray to Mary all you want to, and you will do nothing but go to hell. You can pray to Mary all the way to hell if you want to. Jesus said, "No man comes unto the Father except by me." We only have one way to heaven. You know, that's very narrow-minded, isn't it? I'm going to tell you what's God's way. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It isn't through Muhammad. It isn't through any pope. It isn't through any priest. The priest cannot forgive you of your sins. A priest cannot forgive you of your sins. And purgatory, which is an admission of the Catholic Church, a damnable lie, will never cleanse you of sin. You will go to hell forever and be there forever and ever and ever and ever. There is no way out. The Catholic Church will accept anybody in baptism. Because you're dipped or baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, etc. Baptists were called Anabaptists because they wouldn't accept Catholic baptism, they wouldn't accept Protestant baptism, they wouldn't accept anybody's baptism. Except New Testament churches of like faith and order. And sometimes they even baptize you again then. They wanted to make sure you had scriptural baptism. And scriptural baptism was only by immersion. The Catholic Church immersed for hundreds of years before they ever started practicing effusion, something in place of immersion. In 600 A.D., we have prayers to Mary and to dead people. Prayers to Mary and to dead people. Dead people are dead people, I want you to know. Saints, Paul is dead. Paul is not going to do anything for you in heaven. Peter, the Catholic Church said, were their first pope. Their first pope was much later. Peter wouldn't have anything to do with the church Catholic today. He would call it a damnable heresy, damnable lies. Peter was a Baptist. St. Patrick was a Baptist that denounced Catholicism and preached the gospel to the Irish. And the Catholic Church has made all kinds of damnable lies about poor old Patrick. You don't pray to Patrick. You don't pray to Christopher. You don't pray to Mary. You don't pray to Paul or anyone else. You pray to God the Father by way of Jesus Christ. That's how you get. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven, people. Escaping Catholicism. How do you escape Catholicism? You take your Bible and you compare it to what the Catholic Church teaches. And you'll find out that there is nothing the Catholic Church teaches that is according to the Word of God. Infant baptism isn't according to the Word of God. Transubstantiation isn't according to the Word of God. Purgatory isn't according to the Word of God. The Catholic Church has God the Father. You fear Him. God the Son, you fear Him too. But Jesus is your lawyer. He's your attorney. He's the one you go to the Father by, not Mary. Not Peter, Paul, or Christopher, or Patrick. Those are damnable lies. You come to God on your own, between you and Him, one time personally. Salvation is an instantaneous process. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible does not teach you to be baptized when you're a child. No place in the world is going to teach child baptism, baby baptism in the Word of God. The Bible talks about believer's baptism, and that's another thing they changed. How can a baby believe? But see, they have godmothers and godfathers to stand in and believe for the child. I guarantee you, when you go to meet God, it won't be your godmother and godfather defending you. You will be direct confrontation with God. And you will explain to Him why that you did not believe in His Son. And ask God for forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus did. Every religion in the world puts God so far away that you cannot reach Him. But the God of heaven sent forth His Son to redeem you. He wants to redeem you. That's contrary to Catholicism and all the others, which man is trying to work his way to God to get redemption. God wanted to redeem mankind so much and this world. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You don't have to search for God. God searched for you. You're lost, all right, but God found you in the person of Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church, as you go through catechism, will tell you all about all the sins that you're committing in this world and how terrible they are and how God hates that sin. And the only way that you can get to God is do this, 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 and pray and ask for forgiveness of sins from the priest. Nowhere in the Bible will tell you, the Word of God tell you to pray to some priest. There is no mediator between man and God except Jesus Christ. Not Mary, nor any priest, nor any pope. It is God only. Damnable lies. These damnable lies, this grew bigger and bigger and more grotesque all the time, making God an ogre. God is not an ogre. He comes forward and tries to bring you and bring redemption to you through His Word, the preaching of the Word. The Word is the only thing that will wash Catholicism out of your heart and your mind and rescue from it. The Word of God will rescue you from Catholicism and Islam, Buddhism, Jehovah's Witnessism. Look and see what it says there in 1 Peter 2 and 1 again. 2 Peter 2 and 1, that is. But there became false prophets also among the people. Even there shall be false teachers among you who will slip in under the door, through the window or something, not the way they're supposed to, even denying the Lord, our Savior. Denying the Lord's way and purpose in your life. Damnable lies that brought them and bring damnation upon them and destruction upon themselves, but it also brings damnation and destruction upon all of those adherents to those false doctrines. Please listen to these messages. Let the Word of God wash Catholicism out of your life and give you eternal life through Jesus Christ. Directly, you have access to God directly through Jesus. Jesus says, do all these things in my name, my authority. A pope doesn't have authority. A priest doesn't have any authority. Mary doesn't have any authority. You're setting aside the Godhead and praying to people that are just like you. They're sinners that had to be saved. We're going to start studying a little more about Mariolatry as it evolved and it got worse and worse and worse. Damnable lies that just got bigger and bigger and bigger and more pronounced. Our Heavenly Father, we send forth this message that you might rescue those out there in heresy. Father, I pray for them. I pray that some Catholic somewhere will hear these messages and believe on you and trust in your word. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for sending Jesus as our Savior. Thank you for all the blessings you give us in this world, because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve our Savior, but you loved us while we were still enemies. You loved us. And Father, help wash this damnable heresy, these damnable lies out of the people's lives, that they might come to you for real salvation and live their lives for you as they should. Not in a fearful religion, but in a joyful religion. In Jesus' name I pray.